know he came here to say, if you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There was a time when the Browns were ahead 20-7 in that game.
20 unanswered points.
And then there was a time when they lost the game 34-20 against the Arizona Cardinals. 1 week after the Browns made it clear you can't win when you turn the ball over four times in the National Football League, the Arizona Cardinals turned the ball over four times to the Browns. And they did win 34-20. Carson Palmer, 374 yards, four touchdowns on the day. Chris Johnson ran for 109 yards. Michael Floyd had 106 and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 84 and a touchdown. They didn't even have John Brown and the two guys that replaced him, J.J. Nelson and Jaron Brown, combined for four catches for 109 yards. It was a game in which the Browns were unable to get off the field time and time again. The only way they got off the field really was by turning the football over with the four takeaways, which was a great thing. They knew that Arizona would do that. Three fumbles, one interception, Tashawn Gibson coming back and accounting for two turnovers right away. But at the end of the day, 13 of 16, the Arizona Cardinals were on third down, and it was a game that you watched, and even though the Browns were ahead, it didn't feel safe, and ultimately, even when they were down 24-20 at the end of the third quarter, you just, even though it was less than a one-possession game, you didn't feel the momentum was there. Josh McCown is as tough a man as I've seen on a football field, because I can tell you I was down there. He took an absolute beating for the second straight week in a row, and he was in significant pain on the sideline when he was doubled over. He went back in. They called pass twice in a row. He got hit two more times. He stayed in there. He wanted to give everything he could for his teammates. But, you know, my question in the Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the day are this. Number one, are there any positives to take away from this game? Is there anything that you can say positively coming out of this game that you would like to focus on, number one? Number two, you know, what do you think are the real issues with this team? What is going wrong as you see it? And number three, I'll just throw this question out there. Even though it's a short week, are you ready? Is it time to play the pups, as Mo Pedman would say? Is it time to play the pups and give the young guys an opportunity to go out there? And, you know, there are some interesting things that I'm going to be curious to hear, and hopefully he will be asked about them. You know, why is Johnson Badamosi playing ahead of Pierre Desir if he's healthy? And why is he playing ahead of Justin Gilbert, for that matter?
Right. And just my overall take on the football game, going back and watching it, and the elation of the first half and the Cleveland Browns that we expected, I almost felt like that first half was a coming out party for this Cleveland Browns football team. Taking the football away, scoring touchdowns in the red zone as we went, I believe, 3 for 3, two of which went to Brian Hartline, one, of course, to big play Gare on the back shoulder throw. And I, knowing after diving in and covering this football team, in speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, and what I believed and what we had heard, and even continuing to the pregame show, you talked to Tony Boselli, you talked to some other individuals around the league that have dove in and studied the Cardinals, even statistically. And winning the turnover battle was what did lie to me, because we won that turnover battle. We got the takeaways, and that in some cases, as we learned and we talked about all last week, was the recipe to beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the kid said you needed to be plus four. I think you and I both said you need better.
I said plus two or above, yeah.
Which they were. The crazy thing is that they were plus four in the turnover category late in the second half, and were losing.
Yep.
That is not easy to do in the National Football
League. No, it's not.
That is a very rare thing, especially because some of them were turnovers in scoring position. K'Wan Williams with a great play, ripping the ball out from Larry Fitzgerald. They were probably going to be going in for a touchdown. This was a deflating game. You could see it in terms of, I thought, the players. You could see it certainly in the fans, and it was just a depressing, I thought, afternoon at the end of it. Josh McCown's toughness was absolutely an impressive display. But you wonder at what point do you just say, all right, we've done all that we can. It's not Josh's fault, by the way. I think he's played great. I think he's given everything that he certainly can to the team. But I think you need to go ahead and give Johnny an opportunity. I don't think it's going to happen this week, but I would. I think you need to stop the three-headed monster at running back, and you need to play Crow and Duke, who, by the way, were playing their best football right before Robert Turbin got introduced into the mix against Baltimore and San Diego. That's when they were at their best.
What is going on with his inability to – I mean, to me, the most elementary things in playing football and seeing as though I coached my son's first and second grade team is, A, the snap. Okay, center quarterback exchange is the most crucial play in all of football because if you do it, you've got a chance. If you don't and the ball's on the ground, shame on you, and that's in most cases when a turnover happens. But secondly, and something that I did every single practice, is handing the football off and securing the football as a runner. And how does someone who's given more opportunities in the last 3 weeks since joining the Cleveland Browns, to me, then Crow or Duke, and where did Duke disappear to in the second half of this football game?
I don't know. He had the 2 targets, 2 catches for 68 yards. He only touched the ball 3 times. It was his lowest snap count of the season, and in trying to kind of get answers to that question, I couldn't do it for you. Only 24 snaps for him. Crow 20, 19 for Robert Turbin, and Robert Turbin had 3 carries for 3 yards and put the ball on the ground multiple times. Fortunately, he only lost one of those, but it was, you know, to me, now Josh McCown, interestingly enough, in the way NFL stats are done, was credited with all of those fumbles, not Robert Turbin. Whenever it's an exchange, it goes to the quarterback. So, I don't know. Brian Hartline, 2 touchdowns, great.
Yep.
4 drops, including a huge one on 3rd down that really I thought was the one opportunity the Browns had to get back in the game. I think it came right after the Sean Gibson interception, and then you were trying to go ahead and move the football, and it just...
And what's frustrating to me, though, is you look at his touchdowns, and they are great hand catches of the football, meaning your hands are removed from your body, you secure it with your hands, then bring it to your chest. And I thought multiple of those drops had to do with him trying to catch it up against his body, which is an insecure way of trying to secure the football. When in some cases, when you just got to reach out and grab it, reach out and grab the football. And I thought, like you said, the timing of those plays and our ability to take the football away, the second half was abysmal for me and very difficult to watch. And I could just see, and something that I'll point out throughout the rest of the show, when you look at the culture that Bruce Arians has created there in Arizona and the comments coming out of the Cardinals locker room following the football game, Bruce Arians on what he said at halftime, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald and what they took from Coach Arians and their ability as a football team to take that message and literally apply it on the football field is something that you only see out of high-quality championship-level football teams.
Whatever it is that allows those teams to win.
Because we didn't smell blood. We did our job in the first half and get the ball in the second half, which is an ideal situation. You'd love to not give up the field goal right before the half and our run and give up with a minute plus on the clock. Don't like that. I'm sure a lot of fans don't like that either. And I could hear through the broadcasts that fans inside the stadium didn't care for that. At some point, you got to step on their throat and go for the jugular.
Talk about the end of the first half?
Run, run, run.
But you made them use all their timeouts, and Andy Lee hit a very uncharacteristic punt. If Andy Lee hits a normal Andy Lee punt, they're probably not getting down there. Now, the good news is they should have scored a touchdown. That was a hell of a catch by Michael Floyd, and the only reason he got called back is because 2 guys that aren't used to playing because John Brown was out didn't get aligned properly pre-snap and were moving when the ball was snapped.
My whole point is, and this is from past game history and understanding what teams want to do in that situation. It is, to me, it's a full-on give-up to go run, run, run. Okay, what I'd like to see is some type of bubble screen, even though, yes, I know last week it went for a touchdown, but you got to overcome bubble screen. I would say some type of chunk play to in your ability to get. You go get 12 to 15 yards on first down, and that switch in your mind goes, let's go try to cross the 50.
Of course.
You know, and I just thought it was a little bit of a give up. So they but then you give them back 3 points because of their efficiency with a Carson Palmer-led offense, and then you come out in the second half, but because you didn't, you know, go for the jugular and step on their throat, you go three and out and give the football back to a pissed off Arizona Cardinals teams after they just got their you-know-what's ripped in the locker room with the coach calling you out. Are you a pretender or a contender? Well, they pretended in the first half, and they're a contender in the second half in my eyes.
Yes, they certainly are a contender. The fire that they showed, and listen, the Browns, they missed a couple ones early. The Browns made the turnovers. They had to capitalize on it. Rough day in the secondary in terms of performance. Also a rough day in terms of injury. Joe Hayden being knocked out with a concussion. He was targeted 5 times by the Cardinals, gave up 5 catches for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. I thought it was a rough, rough return for him, and now he's got a concussion. He'll be out this week on the short week. Dante Whitner knocked out as well in that one. I thought Ibrahim Campbell, if you are looking for a positive, came in. I thought he was
physical. I did too.
I thought he knew where
his
he was
tackle
supposed
on Larry
to be
Fitzgerald.
On the field.
That's a 230-pound wide receiver now.
That was a big, big hit.
That was a Goldberg-esque tackle. I thought he fit the run very well. And then one other point as we're ranting and raving about the good, bad, and indifferent, and the mostly bad is this is a Cleveland Browns football show. And you were down there on the field level, and obviously saw you a few times on TV, as I'm sure many of your Twitter followers did as well. Did we look badly coached down inside the five yard line, you know, in and around the goal line situation?
Because
I thought Joe Hayden looked lost on the first touchdown when the tight end caught it, and then I looked on the second touchdown, the guy ran scot free, and no one picked him up on the right hand side. So it was like it's either a corner or Mingo or somebody. Guys don't run free down there. And as I always talk about, if you're looking at the right things, your eyes never lie.
That's right.
And look at and how many times in that and you obviously you were on the sideline, but for those of you out there watching the television broadcast, Tyrann Mathieu, however you say it, the Honey Badger, how many times was he just in the right situation, not overreacting to any run fake, any bootleg, but put himself in the perfect situation to make a play by not following his eye. That's the whole diversion on a bootleg is to get you running, thinking it's that stretch away from you, and they boot right back to you. And he was just sitting there waiting time after time.
Not only
on the Barnage touchdown. I mean, the Barnage potential touchdown the first time.
Yeah. And how about the fact you talk about red zone defense the other time? One-on-one, Larry Fitzgerald, Johnson Batamosi, one-on-one.
Come on.
Was there any doubt in anybody's mind where the ball was going?
I'm 6'4", and I'd get open on that play. It's all about body control, and the guys, as Larry Fitzgerald said in his postgame comments, they throw that route every Thursday and Friday in practice.
Every single, and that was just, you knew.
It was stealing.
It was stealing. And I don't understand on a team that drafted Justin Gilbert 8th overall to play corner, I don't care what he – and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't get it. And maybe you can tell me why I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't get it because I didn't practice in the NFL. But I know you earn your reps based on what you do in practice. But at some point, you need to let these guys play and find out, can Justin Gilbert play corner at all in the National Football League? Because that's what he was drafted to do. Because
right.
He's not just kick returner. And you've got Pierre who's played fine. Yes, did he give up a long touchdown to Kenny Britt? He did. But I thought he played overall very well against Demaryius Thomas. He played well the week before that. He started for you multiple games. And you're not going to give him an opportunity. By the way, Fitzgerald's a perfect kind of matchup for a guy like Pierre Desir. Long, rangy, there. I don't understand why these guys aren't playing and Johnson Batamosi is. I don't understand why Robert Turbin is playing. And I like the physicality of Robert Turbin.
So do I.
Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, the two games before Turbin got interjected in the mix, were playing their best football of the season.
Right.
And now they're all out of their rhythm. Not to mention the fact that, listen, if you want to run the football, you've got to give these guys a chance to run the football. There is no chance being given by our offensive line, once again, no chance whatsoever. Isaiah Crowell rushed for 14 yards on 10 carries, 16 after contact, getting hit behind the line of scrimmage once again.
How many negative runs did we have yesterday? Or is that a stat you'll have to find?
Too many.
Too many.
Duke Johnson was hit behind the line of scrimmage. Robert Turbin, average being hit behind the line of scrimmage. That's not what good teams do when they run the football. When good teams run the football, you have an opportunity to get to the line. For example, Chris Johnson, 30 carries. He had 65 after contact, so just about 2 per carry. He ran for 107 yards.
But that being
said, getting down the field.
That's a point. And I thought the defense as a Our defensive front as a whole,
yes.
I thought they did well against Chris Conley. He never broke one, you know, for more than what is his long run? 13 yards?
Yeah.
You know, there was a few times where a 7 and an 8-yard run, but somebody was there to make a tackle, and I thought the defense as a front did well.
Sure.
Did very well, but it's just as a team who's so dedicated to running the football, like the Arizona Cardinals are, and knowing that they have to, you made him work for his 109 yards.
Yeah, he held him 3 yards to carry.
He ran the ball for 30. We only ran the ball for 20 total carries, and that's Josh McCown had 5 of those attempts, Manziel for 1, and did we or did we not have the lead for a significant portion of this football game?
It was quickly evaporated, but yes, there was a chance time when the team was in command of this game, and you look, they worked hard. If the run defense played better than it has all year, but of course for the Browns, because you know it takes everything. Your run defense plays well. How many times were they in third and long?
A lot.
And they were 13 of 16 on third down.
Yep.
You got to get off the field.
Right. And that's something that we had succeeded at all year long.
And this was, for the majority of the game, the healthiest that you had your secondary with Get Back. He played 100% of the snaps. You had Craig Robertson back, played about 70%. You had, of course, Joe Hayden back. He ultimately played into the second half, played about 50% of the snaps, and that was it. But it was just a disappointing and, again, a deflating game. And you look at Chris Kirksey's playing only 28 snaps, 35%. Mingo, 18 snaps. That's 22%. Randy Starks, 36%. Xavier Cooper, 40%. It was, in some ways, a strange game in terms of the snap counts for some of the guys that were out there. And I just think it was one where you left the game feeling like there were, again, for this team, unfortunately, more questions than answers.
I agree 100%. And that's what, and of all weeks for it to happen, it happens in a week where you can't change a thing. It's going to be an awkward week, as I always talk about, with being a creature of habit. Everything's going to be different. Your body's going to have to recover. No one's going to be 100%. And a lot is in limbo when it comes to the football side of this organization.
Well, you certainly know you're not going to have, with the concussion protocol, you're not going to have Dante Whitner. You're not going to have Joe Hayden.
I think you could probably rule them out right now.
So do you start? Does Johnson Badamosi go down there and start?
I don't know.
What happens?
But he can't cover A.J. Green.
No.
If I had Tyler Eifert in fantasy, I'm going to plug him in DraftKings.
It's going to be, this is, again, a very, very, very challenging turnaround for the Browns, 10-point underdogs. And because there's just a lot of questions, again, with this team, what's the direction? Is Josh McCown going to be healthy after taking another beating like he did? I don't know. Lots to be answered. Mike Pettine is going to address the media today. We will hear that later on in this show. So we'll hear right from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. That's still to come, along with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He's with us at 2 o'clock. We do want to hear from you again. Was there anything that you took positively out of this game? Maybe it was the run defense, holding them to 3 yards a carry for the first time all year, playing well. But 4 takeaways. Yeah, that's positive. But did it add up to what it needed to add up to for this team? No, it did not, and that is something that continues to be an issue for the Cleveland Browns. They've got to find a way to win these games, and so far they have not been able to do that. They sit now at 2-6 and 2-11 in their last 13. 2-6, 578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this.